Our gospel lesson for this first Sunday of Advent, first Sunday of this liturgical year, comes from the Gospel of Mark, the 13th chapter, verses 24 through 37. This section is often referred to as the mini, M-I-N-I, mini, small apocalypse. So as you hear these words, listen for the Word of God that may be speaking something new to you at this point on your faith journey. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. And the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It's like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands a doorkeeper to be on watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at a cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'll just highlight that one more time for you. Verse 37. And what I say to you, I say to all. Keep awake. Keep awake. Okay. First thing we need to do this morning is just stop and take a deep breath. We take a deep breath and we'll just take... Big inhale. Everybody, breathe in. Hold it. Exhale. Wow. You made it. You made it. You made it through another year. Today's the first Sunday of the church year. You've made it through another year. So, you can just let it go. You can let all the regrets, all the what ifs, all the I wish I hads, you can just let them go. That was last year. Now, as we stand here at the beginning of a new year, we can look out over the what could be. What could be, and I'm going to, and this year's going to be different. What a great feeling that is. Well, here we are. The year is before, so the question is this. What are we going to make of it, folks? We've got a whole year now. What are we going to do with it? Last week, Ashley stood up here and asked if you knew the vision statement of this community as she held up the great gifts and graces cards. She said, you know the vision statement, not to be confused with the mission statement. Mission statement of Pleasant Grove is the reason we exist. We think this is the reason for us to be in business, and that reason is to be the body of Christ in the world. So in other words, if we're not the body of Christ, might as well go out of business. You know, we're not doing what we should be doing. If we're a club, we're not a very good club. We could be, they're better clubs. But the body of Christ, that is our mission. Vision is what Ashley was asking us about. How are we going to be the body of Christ? What's our vision of what that looks like here in this place at this point in time? Well, as she recounted that for you, some of you rattled it off. Reach, engage, enable. That's our vision. Reach, engage, enable. Now that's a Cliff's Notes version. How are we going to be the body of Christ? We're going to reach all through hospitality. Engage all in ministry. And enable all to grow spiritually. That is why we exist. So the idea is something like this. We invite folks into the community. Into a community that is characterized by grace and tolerance and mercy. Then we offer ways for folks to become engaged in ministries in all its glorious variety. There, the trifold brochure, you can see all the different ministries. Not every ministry is for everyone, but there is something for everyone. But you've got to find your ministry or ministries. And then, finally, it is in this community where people find purposeful engagement that they begin to experience spiritual growth and transformation that is life-giving to them and to the world. And it is this growth that we as individuals and communities, in this growth that we are transformed continuously, albeit incrementally, into the body of Christ. Friends, that's what we're doing here. That's why we exist. Okay. Father Richard Rohr, not going back, 12 steps are done. We're not talking about that, but there is one other thing that he says in a different book that I find very intriguing. He says there are at least two major tasks that human beings engage in the course of their lives. Two major tasks. One is building the container. We talked about that. Building the self, building the ego, you know, building up what we are, and we walk around, look at me, and we adorn ourselves, this container, with many things, with the best, the latest, and the greatest. Look at what I have become. Don't you know who I am? Don't you know what I do? I'm king of the world. That's the container. That's one of our tasks, to build that. The second major task is to fill that container with appropriate life-giving materials that bring meaning to our lives. Rohr points out, and I think rightfully so, that we spend so much time building the container that oftentimes we forget to put stuff in that container, and we walk around empty. In our Old Testament lesson this morning from the prophet Isaiah, we read these words: "In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths.'" In the days to come. Friends, something is about to give. Something is big is happening. Something significant is unfolding. Something that we just may want to put into our containers. Last week, when we met, Thanksgiving was in sight. It was only 4 days out. Well, today Thanksgiving is gone. It's in the rear view. And we're heading to Christmas. We're heading to Christmas. Can you feel that already? I think so. Can you feel the excitement beginning to build? Today is the first Sunday of Advent. That means 3 weeks from Thursday is Christmas Day. 3 weeks. Wow, that's unbelievable. So what are you going to do? What are we going to do? What are you going to do this year to prepare for the celebration of Christmas? Have you thought about it? What are you going to do with your Advent season? Remember, Adventus. Advent means coming. Something is on its way. Not Santa. Something big is coming, and it's called the incarnation, the enfleshment, the embodiment. In his book on the life of the church, Seasons of Celebration, Thomas Merton writes this about Advent, and I say it over and over again because I love this statement. I wish I'd thought of it. Advent is the sacrament of the presence of God. Advent is the sacrament of the presence of God. How awesome is that? In other words, Advent is a sacred season during which we live in such a way that God is made real in our lives. God is incarnated, enfleshed in our midst. It's a practice that ultimately ends with the celebration of Emmanuel, which is God is with us. That's profound. That's life-altering kind of stuff. Advent is a season during which we live in such a manner that our lives are prepared for transformation. We are enabled to grow spiritually. Biblical theologian William Herzog writes that beginning the season of Advent with an apocalyptic text, like what we just read from Mark 13, we are offered a way of framing Advent. as the end of an old order and the beginning of a new era. Something new is happening. Something new can happen. In other words, what if our practice of Advent this year shaped our lives in such a way that by the time Christmas arrived, we had begun to see life more clearly and begin to see that that our lives are led in sacred time and in sacred space each and every day. That everything we say and everything we do is done in the presence of God. What if 3 weeks from Thursday you begin to realize that? Wouldn't that be something? That would be transformational. But if it's just a consumption fest that swallows us whole, what's the point in that? Same old, same old. How is that going to be life-giving? Friends, believe it or not, and again, both services today, 8:30 and 9:45, were stunned by what I'm about to say. I had three people pass out. Christmas is a religious holiday. What? I didn't even realize that until I read it this morning. It is a religious holiday. In fact, it's one of the holiest days, holiest seasons of the year for us. Maybe second to Lent and to Easter, but it's big. So my Advent challenge is this. Let's stop kidding ourselves by assuming that the birth of Jesus of Nazareth justifies our current holiday practices. If we watched how we conduct and celebrate Christmas, when people say, oh, that must be about the birth of Jesus, look at them. Very convicting for me personally. I've said this before, and I would love to do this. I haven't been able to pull it off yet, but we need to come up with another day. We need to pick a day sometime in the year. Maybe we do it in January and call it something. Don't call it Christmas. Call it something where you wrap stuff up, you overspend, you go into a lot of debt, and you buy stuff you don't need, and you give it to other people, and you have parties, you do all this stuff. You know, put up all the great decoration that you want. Just don't call it Christmas. Don't read Luke chapter 2 while you're doing it. But have a great time. Just don't call it Christmas. Well, it hadn't really caught on, that idea. But anyway, just a thought. Several years ago, we talked about a group of folks here who were worn out by and were a bit fed up with their current practice of Advent and Christmas. If you remember that, how many people were here? We did Advent Conspiracy a few years ago. We worked out, a number of you were. Amazing group of folks. Anyway, this conspiracy had four pillars on which it was founded. You remember them if you were here. Worship fully. Advent. Worship fully. Spend less. Spend less than you did last year. Not more. Spend less. Give more. Love all. That's it. Worship fully. Spend less. Give more. Love all. And let me remind you of something provocative that they said about Christmas. If it doesn't take money to love, a recalculation is needed. If love is to be the driving force of our gift giving, then money cannot be. Okay, think about that. If it doesn't take money to love, if that is true, and I think most of us would agree with that statement, then, a basic conditional statement, then an Advent recalculation is needed. We need to rethink Advent. Because if love is to be the driving force of our gift giving, then money cannot be. And they continue with these words. When we refuse to equate money with love, we become free. Free to leave the shallow story of cultural Christmas and enter the deep, life-giving waters of the incarnation. Free to give without comparison, receive with gratitude, and worship with abandon. When I first read these words, I was blown away. It spoke to me, and I've been trying to live into that spirit ever since. It's not easy, but it works on you. If you try to live into it, you won't be successful at first, but you keep working on it. You work on it. Worship fully, spend less, give more, love all. The whole idea of getting to a place in our lives that Advent and Christmas can be transformative. It's not grounded in a litany of rules. We all know that living by a list of compulsory do's and don'ts just is not sustainable. You know, we can say all we want about, you know, I'm just not going to spend this year. And you just fight the tendency to do that kind of stuff. You suppress it. But you can only do that for so long. So it's not just about suppressing, it's about transformation. It's about changing the way you view things. What we seek is liberation, not oppression. Why change one form of oppression for another? McKinley, C., and Holder, who put this whole thing together, said this. This whole Advent conspiracy effort is not about anger, disgust, or guilt. It's not about guilt. It's about entering the story of Jesus more deeply with the desire to worship more fully. It's not enough to say no to the way Christmas is celebrated by many. We need to say yes to a different way of celebrating. And what's that going to be? What are we going to do, folks? We can't just keep on keeping on. I read somewhere that the Christmas shopping season has been extended. And when I read that, I didn't really know what it meant. What does that mean? Is it going to go after Christmas? I guess it started early. Started on Wednesday or Thursday even this year. Well, when I heard that, it made me sick. That is just sickening to me. We're losing our sense of the sacred. What are we going to do? We've got to do something. The days are surely coming. Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to practice. We're going to practice our faith by practicing incarnation. How about that? That means we're going to use this season of incarnation to incarnate Christ in our lives. You're going to be Christ. We're going to make Christ's presence real. We're going to make his presence felt, literally, with our hands, with the words that we say, and with our lives. The book, Read Jesus, always gets me, because this cuts right to my heart. Michael Frost and Alan Hirsch write, "People should be able to encounter Jesus in and through the life and community of his followers." Is that reasonable? Should be able to encounter Jesus in and through the life and community of his followers. And if they cannot find authentic signals of the historical Jesus through the life of his people, then as far as we are concerned, they have the full right to question our legitimacy. Wow. Are we commemorating incarnation or are we participating in incarnation? The Apostle Paul said, "Be imitators of me, as I am of Christ." Worship fully, spend less, give more, love all. The new year is open before us right now. It's an exciting time. This could be the year in which our lives are transformed. That would be something. So what are we going to make of it? Well, in the spirit of the Advent conspirators, I invite you during the next 3 weeks, you have 3 weeks and a handful of days, to take a break from the chaos that normally surrounds the season, and indulge yourself in the sacrament of Advent. Friends, look around you. All these things the kids pointed out. The time is short. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Thanks be to God.